Bible teaching by David Ebal is titled China.
I'm in Ezra. That's Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Now the story is that Ezra, Nehemiah, and Daniel had all been over in Babylon. And they'd been over there for 70 years in captivity. They'd been in an area where Jeremiah had prophesied and said, "Now, when I cause you to leave the promised land, I want you to know that God is in this thing. God is expecting you to flow with the captivity. Don't argue about it. Don't fight it, but flow with it. God is in it. He's got to have a separation of the northern ten and the southern two tribes." And how many of you are aware of the fact that a lot of us, when we see things happen, tend to want to fight it and get away from it? Now, you see, the 70 years have gone by. Daniel's 85 years old. I don't know how old Ezra is, but I know that Ezra and Nehemiah are contemporaries of Daniel. And Daniel went up to the king and he said, "Oh, king, live forever. It's time for us to go home." In Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, he had been reading the prophet Jeremiah and found out they were to be there 70 years. Now, if you remember the story, it was Nehemiah who built the wall, rebuilt that wall. And there were two men, Sanballat and Tobiah. Does anybody remember Sanballat and Tobiah? These were the, I don't know what you'd call them, half-Israelites, who told them that they would never be successful in their operation. Now, they've been called of the Lord to build, but it seems like that when people are called of the Lord to build, there's always a Sanballat or Tobiah around to explain to us why we cannot accomplish our objective. There's always somebody around to tell us we'll never achieve. Well, old Nehemiah climbed up on his wall. He took a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other and began to build anyway, and he built the wall. Ezra, in this case, rebuilt the foundations of the temple. And he happened to rebuild the foundations of the temple at the Feast of Tabernacles. It's interesting that the Feast of Tabernacles has always something to do with the temple. What know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? And at the Feast of Tabernacles, God is going to restore His glory to our bodies. Now, in this case, there was a tabernacle, a temple, that was being built, and Ezra was doing it. And this has to do with the Feast of Tabernacles. But before he got there, things were hard. Things weren't working. Things weren't fitting together right. So he said in verse 21, "Then I, Ezra, proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. But His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us." You see, Ezra had a right to be discouraged. He'd been 70 years over in a land that wasn't his, and things weren't right, and things weren't fitting together right. And he didn't know it would be 70 years. He didn't know how long that would last, but he just knew that he had to do what Jeremiah the prophet had said. Now, the prophet Daniel, upon reading the prophet Jeremiah, determined how many years it should be. But Jeremiah didn't know how many years it would be either. All he knew was that the land had to enjoy her Sabbath. Sometimes God gives a word to the prophet, and the prophet doesn't even understand the word he's receiving. How many, you've had that, right? All right. But it often takes a prophet to understand a prophet, the point I'm trying to get. Sometimes you have to be a prophet to understand a prophet. Daniel was a prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet. Jeremiah prophesied. Jeremiah didn't know what he's talking about, and neither did Daniel until the Holy Spirit came on Daniel. Now, there's another prophet, Ezra, and he knows that it's time to go home and rebuild the temple. But the way is full of trouble. enemies. Some of the enemies are even in the camp. You have the same Balaam and Tobias right in the camp. They'll tell you you can't achieve what God told you to do. Then you have the robbers that would take away. They're in the way. They're along the roads. And you remember the stories of the old, how they traveled. And when you wanted to travel, you traveled in a caravan. And the caravan not only contained the purpose of the trip, but also contained many soldiers and warriors and people that would protect you. You actually had to have somewhat of an army when you were going through those countries then. And sometimes travelers nowadays wish they had an army to help them from the, I think they call them now traps, tourist traps. They're not really band of soldiers anymore, but the same principles and the spirits are still applying. All right. So now he proclaims a fast that the Lord might show them the way. And sometimes it's good to know whether you ought to be on Route 25 or Route 10 or Route 20 or Route this or that, because sometimes the route is better, one route is better than the other, and you don't know for sure. And he wants to know the way. And he's also concerned about his substance. That would be, we'll say, the pancakes and the flour and the water and the things of that nature and the tents and all that, and the little ones. And they're going back to rebuild. And the king said, how much money do you need to rebuild this thing? And the king gave them gold and silver and all those kind of things. But then he said, now how about some soldiers? And he said, nope, don't need your soldiers. Because God's hand is upon those that serve him.
Amen.
But then he got out on the road and he began to look at all the trouble he'd been in and the trouble he was in at the moment. And he wished he hadn't said that. He says right here, I was ashamed to send back to the king. I didn't want to tell the king that I was reneging. I know the hand of the Lord is upon them that serve him. But I sure wish I'd have kept my mouth shut about those soldiers. Because right now, according to the spies that have been sent out and to tell us about the way and the road that lies before us, there's a band of bandits. And they've heard that the king has given us a gold that was out of the tabernacle of God that had been taken away by Nebuchadnezzar 70 years before, and the silver chalices, you know, all that kind of stuff. And those bandits are after that. And now I know that the king was interested in the king's mind. All he ever thinks about is if you've got a lot of treasures, you've got to have soldiers to guard your treasures. And he asked us if we wanted these soldiers to guard the treasures so we could go back to Jerusalem. And I told him, no, that won't be necessary because the hand of the Lord will take care of us. But then I looked up and I saw the campfires of the bandits that were around the bend, and I wished for the Lone Ranger. He said, is there any way out of this? I would like to send back for those soldiers, but I just can't do it. I got ashamed. I'm dedicated to a position to where I've been telling the people that I just don't need their help. I've never asked them. I've never asked the king for any help. I've just let it alone. But now things look bad, and it's a dark day, and the bandits are here, and we're in trouble. And well, he said, I'm just tempted, but I'm ashamed to do it, so I won't do it. I'm not going to ask for help. I'm not going back to the king. I'm going to leave it all alone. And so he proclaimed a fast, and he asked the Lord for his help. Well, as the story ends up, the Lord helped. He didn't have to go back. He was right. His testimony was right. It wasn't necessary to put the king under the pressure of the trouble that he was in at the moment. He would just let that alone. And the king never heard from him about that subject again until the walls were up, the temple was up, there was a reestablishment of the nation, and everything was all right again. But he admits that he was ashamed. He admits that he teeter-tottering. He was like a teeter-totter. He was like a pendulum. The forces of one thing pulling one direction, the forces of the temple forces and the spiritual forces pulling another. And he said, all right, I'm just going to let all that go and seek God. And God will then give the wisdom, give the direction, give the leading as to the highway that we're to take. and to the direction and to the protection and to the silver and the gold, and that's all. It's all taken care of. And if the Lord's not in this thing, I don't want to go back there anyway, he said.
Amen.
That's it. That ends that. So he left that. Now this is Ezra proclaiming a fast. But I want you to know that after he built the temple and he got everything ready, he took the people down to the water gate. And there at the water gate, he built a scaffold, a wooden scaffold. And he stood on the scaffold, and he had the women and the children, naturally the men, but it was strange to have the women and children, and he read the Word of God. And he caused them to stand at attention for 4 hours while he read to them with understanding, so that they might understand what God was saying in his Word. We gave you chairs here. But if you think there has been a nasty rumor going around that Brother Ebaugh is long-winded, now that's just a nasty rumor. Yes, it's not. We don't like that kind of talk. But if you think that I'm long-winded, you should have heard Ezra. He pulled them together for 4 hours, standing on their feet, the women holding the babies in their arms. Can you see the picture? And the people were so shocked and amazed that they stood there interested in every word the man was saying. They just couldn't get up. Why, God had been in their lives every step of the way. God was in it when Grandma had to leave Jerusalem. God was in it when they were born over there in Babylon. God had been in every step of their life coming back out of Babylon, and God really did want them to rebuild the temple. And they were shocked. They were amazed. They didn't know it. They had been born as slaves to a slave country and weren't aware that God was interested in every one of the slaves. In the book of Amos, chapter 8, God said, I'm going to take the 10 northern tribes and I'm going to scatter them abroad among all the nations, every nation. Do you hear that? Every nation, every nation, every nation. They're going to be scattered as corn is scattered from a sieve. And yet not one grain shall fall on the ground unnoticed. That means that as Israel was scattered among all nations, every family, you understand that? Every seed, every sperm was noticed and recognized and recorded in the heavenly journals among all the nations. Then God said, in the last days, I'm going to gather up that corn again. In the last days, I'm going to pull them up out of the nations of Europe where they have been scattered. Now, I'm going to get into more than Europe this morning. I'm going to get into China and Asia and some things like that. But in this case, it was Europe, and it tells us in 2 Kings where they went and how they were scattered. And he said, in the last days, saith the Lord, I'm going to pull them back. But this time it will be to a new Jerusalem. Did you hear that? New Jerusalem, not the old Jerusalem. It will be a new Jerusalem. It will be a new Zion. And from this new Zion will go the law. He said, then, because each grain is taken care of and noticed in the heavenly journals and not gone unnoticed, when I bring them back, it will be to a wilderness, we find in Ezekiel 37, 38, 39. And they will build in this wilderness, which has never been inhabited by this kind of people, cities without walls. They will build on mountains never inhabited. They will build a new Jerusalem and a new Zion. When we went to the edge of the Mediterranean, we saw an old Jerusalem with walls. We saw walls around all the cities. We found that their mountains had always been inhabited. But we looked at the New Jerusalem between the Atlantic and Pacific, and we saw a nation, a melting pot, where each of those grains, even Pollock's, had been brought back to a new Israel. Are you hearing it? A new Israel. Now, not an old Israel. A new Israel between the Atlantic and Pacific oceans. And God said, now at this stage, I want you to take two sticks and write on the one for Judah and the children of Israel and write on the other for Joseph and the sons of Israel. Then take them and bind them together that those two sticks might be one in my hand.
Right.
And I will pick up those two sticks. And with those sticks I will rule all other nations. The word of the Lord shall go forth from the new Jerusalem. And this new Jerusalem shall rule all other nations. There is a spirit upon the people of the United States of America. That is a strange spirit because they don't know who they are.
Yes.
But they do know that they are their brother's keeper. And the people of the United States will give money to finance a ship called Hope. And will pay taxes. And without even consulting a Congress or a legislature, when there is a landslide in Chile, an earthquake in Guatemala, a tidal wave in a Micronesian island that we've never even known about, not even known the name, the president of those people will dispatch ships and planes full of medicines and bandages and blankets and goods to protect the physical lives of people on the other half of the globe that they don't even know. Because this people know they are their brother's keeper. Because there is a spirit that guides them, though they don't know who they are. So as we travel the world, we say, where are the missionaries from? Well, over 95% say the missionaries in this country are from the United States of America. Where does the money come for the missionary efforts? Well, over 95% from the United States of America. The other 5% are from England and the Scandinavian countries, and that's it. That's it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Spain send missionaries? No. Portugal send missionaries? No. France send missionaries? No. You see what I'm doing? Italy send missionaries? No. Where is Israel? Where are God's people?
Right here.
Where does the law go forth from?
This is it.
Here it is.
That's right.
This is God's people. These are the ones. He said he's going to take care of them. Your forefathers didn't know what kind of a spirit was driving them to go forth through this land and to fight tremendous obstacles. But every one of them stopped in prayer at the River Ahava and they asked for God to show them the way. And you can travel the highways of this nation now. There are always signs all along telling us about what our forefathers did, how they opened up this and worked on that. And you'll find out that every one of those signs in every one of those groups, they always mention a church group. Did you hear it? Always. A-L-W-Y-S. Always mention a religious spirit that was on those people that was forcing them on to an area, a wilderness, to open up a thing that they didn't know what was about. It was about. All they knew was they had to do it. Now, 3 to 4 generations later, we are basking in the benefits and the blessings that were brought to us through blood, sweat, and tears of people who, some of them began to have an indication of who they were, but many didn't really know. All they knew was there was a spirit driving them. Have you in times past known that you had to do something and didn't know why?
Right.
Have you had that? There was a spirit that came upon you, you didn't know who you were, but you knew you had to get it done. And I'm trying to show you why. You have a marvelous, marvelous heritage, but you have a tremendously greater destiny.
Amen.
The destiny of this country is so marvelous and so great, and I've read so many promises to God's people, that I can't be worried about the problems that affect us. The cliffs, the rivers, the mountains that are to scale. You understand what I'm doing on this? These things are just natural things that are in the way that we're going to have to overcome. But you see, I read the last chapter.
That's it.
will win.
Amen.
See, and so then the mountains are smaller since I know they are ascendable.
Yes.
You see that? And the valleys, though they are deep, and I do realize there are gorges and rivers, I know they are fordable. Because I read the last chapter.
Amen. All right.
And so even though these things are lifted up against us, that's not my concern, because it's a pattern. Isn't it a pattern?
Yes.
But the way is hard, and you have to stop at the River Haven. And it doesn't matter if it's for our forefathers when they stopped at the River Mississippi, or whether it was for Ezra who stopped at the River Ahava, or for us who have to ford our own rivers nowadays. The Spirit's there. The same thing goes on in our lives that went on in the others. But we do know that the hand of the Lord is upon them that serve Him. We do know that the hand of the Lord will take care and make a way. But when you're in the way, you don't know for sure what the way is. How many have noticed that hindsight's better than foresight? If God would only tell me in the future as much as I know about the past. So we look up God's prophets, God's oracles, people to help us and direct us. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now in the realm of prophecy, in the realm of God's oracles, and in the realm of what God is doing today, I want to share with you something that's more than just about the United States. This has to do with the nations that we're lined up with as well. Now, I told you who we were. And I think that Brother Charles sang a song about who we are. Is that right, Brother Charles? That's the words of the song. I know who I am. I know who I am. Well, we know that we are the technons of God becoming heroes, becoming manifest sons. That's the spiritual realm. But I'm also working in the temporal realm because I have to live in both. This is a teeter-totter. You understand that even though I'm spiritual, even though I have visions for people, even though God gives me spiritual gifts, I still require sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, you see? We're living in both realms. Now, in the temporal realm, there are some alignments of some nations that I want you to see and how we're going to get hooked up with the others, because it's so much easier to live in harmony with the way God is going than to continue to fight Him.
Amen.
Look, Jeremiah said, get in harmony and flow with the fact that you're going to be subject to the Babylonians. You see it? You will be taken captive. You will have to move in certain realms and flow with it. Don't fight it, because if you fight it, you'll lose your... See? So flow with it and stay alive. Go over to Babylon. Build houses. Take wives. Do all the things that are natural. Because I've got to have a people. I must have a remnant. Alright? In this realm, I'm going to show you some things. And I was so mad at Carter when he took those Chinamen dressed in their funny suits all around the United States and showed them all our treasures. See, I'm from the Korean War. I was on a submarine during the Korean War. And what did they indoctrinate me with? Shoot the Chinamen. Mm-hmm. See? They're our enemies. They're bad. They're morally bad. They're socially bad. They're economically bad. They're commercially bad. Everything's bad about the Chinamen. And my government continued to indoctrinate my mind with the Chinamen ought to be done away with. Here we are trying to help the Vietnamese and the Chinamen and the Koreans, and the Chinamen are doing everything wrong. Wasn't that what we were getting?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had my guns cocked, and our torpedoes were in the tubes, and we were ready. Now, so that there's no misunderstanding, I would like to say this. After the Chinamen found out the Davy Baugh was on the submarine Cobbler patrolling the Atlantic Ocean, not a one of them got over there. I scared him out of it. Now, you see, I really didn't have to pull the trigger on anybody. That's kind of nice of the Lord, isn't it?
Yes.
To to teach me all those things and show me all that stuff and then not put me in a position where I had to pull the trigger. But I have fire torpedoes and those kind of things, you understand, but not so that I had to kill anybody. And I praise the Lord for that. Now, these are the nations that are going to line up with us, and China is going to be on our side. Are you hearing me? China is going to be on our side, and what Carter was doing was right, and I was wrong. I was wrong because my government had, I'm talking about the President Truman, had filled my mind with hate the Chinamen. And Carter's loving the Chinaman, putting his arm around him, hugging him. You know, you see what I'm doing now? And then I found out in the Bible that Carter was right, and the thoughts that were in my mind were wrong. So now I'm acting like I always liked him anyway. I never did have anything against the Chinaman. It was just that the government was plugging my mind with all kind of hateful thoughts about him, saying nasty things about him. Now, what nation is your government plugging your mind with right now with hateful thoughts about?
Egypt.
Russia. But I want to talk about one other. Don't they always talk about the Arabs?
Yes.
And every bit of your trouble is because of those Arabs?
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Isn't that what they're telling you? Now they're getting you ready to fight the
Arabs.
And the trouble you're in isn't the Arabs' fault at all. It's the Rothschilds again.
Mm-hmm.
But they're controlling it. And they're making our people mad at the Arabs like they made me mad at the Chinamen. You see? Same idea. But you know, this time they're right about the Arabs. We're going to have to fight them. This time it will be us against the Arabs. And this time it will be the Chinamen on our side. And I'll try to show you with Scripture why we're saying that now. Take a map of the Mideast and find first the Mediterranean Sea and then the Persian Gulf. You'll notice on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea are two nations, Israel and Lebanon. Down at the bottom, at the top of Africa, is Egypt. Africa separated from this part of the Mideast by the Red Sea, which then turns into the Indian, what do they call it? First, there's another Gulf and then the Indian Ocean. Okay. Take a ruler on any map and lay the ruler down the middle of the Persian Gulf and extend that line straight up all the way into Turkey. Just make a straight line along the Persian Gulf. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Now, everything on that side of the ruler, when I say that, I'll try to explain it for the tape people later on that want to understand. That would be to the northeast side of that ruler mark. All that territory will be toward Russia, Mongolia, and the losers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everything that's drawn on that line and this side will be on our side. When I first noticed that years ago and began to prophesy that Iran would turn against us and become Russian,
mm-hmm.
17 years ago now, I was telling people that that's the way it was going to be. And they said, well, that proves he's a false prophet. Because everybody knows that the Shah of Iran is in solid and it'll never happen, and Iranian oil will always flow to the United States because Standard Oil owns it. Well, I didn't know all those things about politics back then. All I knew was that when it talks about the Medes and the Persians, they're going to turn against us. Well, that was it in this last war. And I had to prophesy it even though I didn't understand it. And I didn't understand 16 years ago, and I'm seeing it better now. But now it's hindsight. And the Shah is gone. And they got the Ayatollah Khomeini. I couldn't even say that word 3 months ago. I never even heard that word 3 months ago. I still don't know what an Ayatollah is.
Mohammedan title of respect.
It's obviously he's the Ayatollah. It means he's the chief honcho, I guess. Is that right?
Mohammedan title of respect.
Muslim boss.
He's the boss. And those Muslims have got something going. You know that the Muslims have a strange idea about moral and ethical principles. You see, to them, if they would murder someone for Allah, that would be a very honorable thing. And in a holy war, they don't take prisoners. You understand that? You know what I mean by that? If no prisoners are taken, that means it'll be a lot bloodier. Now, war is hell. We've heard a general tell us that. But a holy war is a hellish hell. You know, it's the seventh pit of hell, when you understand that. A holy war, see, they would kill you just because of who you were, just by the nature that you weren't a Muslim. Now, we don't have those kind of ideas. Somehow our moral and ethical principles are different. So the Bible tells us in certain scriptures, and that's what I want to get right now for the Bible students. I want you to write this down. Take a note. Ezekiel 38, verse 13 and also 8. And it says, Israel, Sheba, Dedan, and Tarshish will line up, and they're going to be on the good side. I've written the Bible name first, and I've written the present name second. Israel, of course, is Israel today. But now remember, we have to deal with two Israels, the one on the edge of the Mediterranean, the one between the Atlantic and Pacific. We have Sheba and Dedan, which is Iraq, Kuwait, Syria, Lebanon, Tarshish, which is Spain, India, and parts of the United States, and perhaps the United States. And I put question marks after India, USA, and Lebanon, because we can't adamantly demand that these be so. Now the losers, according to Ezekiel 38, are Gog, Magog, Meshach, Tubal, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, Togarma, and Gomer. When we study that, we find Gog, Magog, Meshach, and Tubal are all parts of Russia. And Gog is to rule over these tribes that make the USSR, or the Red Russia will eventually take over White Russia, which happened in the Russian Revolution, which the Bible said would happen thousands of years before. So Gog, the Red Russians, took over the White Russians, Tobolsk, which is all part of the White Russian, Moscow, and the Reds are now in charge, and they call it the Red Bear. But you are understanding that there are two different kinds of Russians, the Red and the White. And the Reds, according to the Bible, were going to take over the White ones. And that's what happened. They are aligned, and they call it USSR. Then Persia, which is Iran, Ethiopia, which is Ethiopia now, and I wrote Egypt with a question mark, but now I've marked Egypt out. And you remember the story I gave you quite a few years ago when we went over and saw the nations and then realized Egypt couldn't be part of that from our astral observation. So that's why, I guess that was about 16 years ago, I typed a question mark after Egypt. Now I have to draw a line through it because Egypt doesn't fit, though it could have. Sometimes Ethiopia does refer to Egypt and sometimes it doesn't. But this would be then the Ethiopia, which would be the what I call the internal countries of Africa. Mm-hmm. Not Egypt, but the more black. Mm-hmm. Okay? That would be Libya, which is, of course, the northern Africa. Togarma. That's Armenia. And it can be Turkey. And I don't know what to do with the Kurds. The Kurds are a fierce group of people that go throughout their culture, all of their own, and they work through three different nations, Turkey, Armenia, and Iraq. So those, but the reason that the Kurds are an enigma to me is that the Kurds are the leftover blonde, blue-eyed, fierce Greeks that were left from the Alexander the Great, and they're definitely not the Muslims. They are Christians, but they're the fiercest, most bloody Christians you ever saw. And they call themselves Christians from that standpoint, but they're not. They don't have moral and ethical principles that you and I have. So there's a problem there. Gomer, and when I say Gomer, this is the one that got me in trouble with the CIA and certain people in Washington, D.C. But Gomer absolutely are the Celtic nations. There's no question. European communist nations, which includes your French, the Celts, the English, the Holland Dutch, Denmark. You understand that all that's going to turn communist.
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.